الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى: وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا فقال يا قوم اعبدوا الله وارجوا اليوم الآخر ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين. صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected ulama kiram, elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our master, our cherisher, our nourisher, our sustainer, our provider. And we send the choicest of salutations, salawat and salam, upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made huququl ibad, the rights of people, one of the most important responsibilities of a believer. It is such an important aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained that you and I, in various aspects of our lives, whether it is our social life, whether it is our business life, we are compelled to fulfill the rights of others. And when it comes to the business field, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made business only a commercial activity, but rather it is an act of ibadah if it is done correctly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that every cent that is earned honestly, truthfully, without trampling on the rights of anybody else, will be full of barakah, full of blessings. And that cent that has been earned dishonestly, where we have taken away the right of somebody else in whichever way, shape or form, that cent will bring nothing but difficulty in this world and the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has narrated to us in the Quran Majeed the incident of Hazrat Shu'ayb alayhi salam in many, many different places. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also drawn our attention to the sins and the disobedience of the people of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, and the reason why they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was because they were involved in corrupt business practices. Cheating, lying, deceiving, depriving people of the weight and measure whilst taking the full for themselves when they were transacting, and creating corruption on the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا, that we sent Shu'ayb alayhi salam to the people of Madian. Madian is a town in modern day Jordan, and that town were descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So these were people of noble lineage, and they were also a wealthy community. Shu'ayb alayhi salam mentions, إِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ, I see that you are a prosperous community. But he commanded them, O Fulkaila wal Mizana bil Qist, that when you are dealing with one another, fulfill the weight and measure in full with justice. Wala tufsidu fil ardi ba'da islahiha, and do not cause any corruption on the earth after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everything equal and laid out the playing field in the business world. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ, and do not take away or hold back the rights of people in your business transactions. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caution them against this? Because when there is cheating in business, when there is dishonesty in business, it creates anarchy in the community. It breaks the trust, it destroys the communities, and it invites the wrath, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this community of Shu'aib alayhi salam, they were unique. Not only did they disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they committed shirk, but they were also dishonest in their business transactions. And under the commentary of this verse, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah mentions that of all the different communities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enumerated in the Quran and Majid that were destroyed, all of them were destroyed because they disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there were two communities that were destroyed because of a unique sin that they committed. One was the community of Lut alayhi salam, who in addition to disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also practiced homosexuality. And the second was the community of Shu'aib alayhi salam. These were people who cheated in weight and measure. So these two actions were so despicable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the entire community was destroyed. And therefore we need to reflect, we need to ponder in our own lives, that if we have to practice this type of despicable act, then we are inviting the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and give us truthfulness and honesty in all our dealings. Now, how did the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam cheat in business? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in another verse of the Quran, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe to those who give less than due. Woe to those who give less than due. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا. Those who, when they are taking something for themselves, when they are buying something, they make sure that they get the full due, if not a little bit extra. So when it is something for their benefit, then they make sure that their right is fulfilled completely, if not above the requirements. But when they are weighing out for others, when they are selling to somebody else, when they are on the other side of the transaction as a supplier, for example, then they will shortchange the customer. This was what the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam did. That when they were buying, they demanded in full measure, but when they were selling, they gave less than what was due. And in addition to that, they would also trim off the coins. They would trim off the coins and reduce the weight of the coins. So when they paid, they had to pay a little bit less. Because in those days when you paid, money actually had a store of value in it. There was the gold or the silver value was there in the money. So you would assume that you're getting X amount in weight of gold. But they had trimmed it down and kept the extra for themselves as a means to cheat the customer or the person that they were paying. So this was a unique sin that these people had engaged in. And what made it worse was that they were not a poor community. Ulama explained that when a poor person steals or a poor person engages in these types of corrupt practices, it doesn't change the fact that it is incorrect. It doesn't change the fact that it is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is a greater severity of the sin when an affluent person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with an abundance of wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with many other bounties, when that person cheats in measure and weight, then there is an additional sickness that this person has, and that is the sickness of greed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. We find in the lives of our pious predecessors that they were extremely particular when it came to this aspect of cheating in measure and weight. There is a famous incident of Umar radiallahu anhu. He was once out on his nightly patrol, and he came across a mother and a daughter who used to sell milk. And he heard the conversation that was taking place between them whilst they were preparing the milk for the next day's sale. The mother says to the daughter that put in some water into the milk so that of course the volume of the milk increases. So the daughter says to the mother that, you know, Umar radiallahu anhu has expressly forbidden this practice. It is not allowed for traders in the marketplace to carry out this practice. And from here we see another subtle point that Umar radiallahu anhu, he was very particular about ensuring that the people that went out to trade understood the rules and regulations of fair trade. And he would go out into the marketplace, auditing those who were there as businessmen. Like we have today, someone might come in and see that you've got the right food license, or you have the right business license to trade, or if you are in a particular industry, you have got certain certifications. So Umar radiallahu anhu would check that the people that were carrying out trade understood what was the requirement of the Sharia in terms of business. And if he found individuals that did not have the requisite understanding of the rules of business, according to the Sharia, he would evict them from the marketplace, instruct them to go and study and learn these rules and regulations before they came back into the business place. So this girl, she says to her mother that, yes, wife Umar radiallahu anhu may not be present, but what about the Rabb of Umar? What about the Lord of Umar? Umar radiallahu anhu hears this. He becomes very impressed. And eventually he makes inquiries. He gets this girl married into his family. And eventually, from her progeny, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, who was one of the rightly guided later khulafa, he was known as Umar al-Thani, the second Umar. He was from the progeny of this girl. So another subtle point that we will glean from this incident is that when we are conscious of making sure that we fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in business, particularly when it comes to fulfilling the rights of our customers, or on the other side, if we are fulfilling the rights of our suppliers, when we are particular about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place untold barakah in our lives. We may not see it immediately, like this particular girl did not see it immediately, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that she came into the family of Umar radiallahu anhu, and from her progeny were pious people that came after her. We find in the life of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, whom many of us are familiar with as we follow the school of thought, the Hanafi school of thought. Imam Abu Hanifa, in addition to being a great faqih and a great jurist, he was also a businessman. And he had a partner in business, and on one occasion, they received a consignment of material, and there was some defect in the cloth. So Imam Abu Hanifa, before departing the business house and going to teach, he instructed his partner that, please disclose this fault to the customer when somebody comes to purchase the cloth. And he proceeded, when he came back in the evening and he inquired with regards to this transaction, his partner made an error and he said, look, I forgot about it. I sold the cloth. I did not disclose the defect in these garments to the person that was purchasing it. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah became upset. And whatever he had received from that transaction, in some narrations it is mentioned that it was 20,000 dirhams, he gave the entire amount away in sadaqah, saying that, I do not want my wealth to be tainted in the slightest by this transaction where I had not disclosed the defect to the customer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Now, when it comes to this issue of tatfif, shortchanging the counterparty, or not giving somebody their due, what are the modern applications that you and I may be guilty of? And the objective of this talk today is for us to reflect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not share these anecdotes only to frighten us and to make us lose hope. No, respected friends and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares it as a means of guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that which is best for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a society that is stable, an economy that is progressing, where there is no corruption, where there is no cheating between parties. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares this with us. But it is for us to ponder upon the Qur'an Majeed. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ Do they not ponder deeply over the Qur'an? أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Or are there locks on their hearts when it comes to the matter of the Qur'an? So when we look at business, for example, you will find that many times when we engage in a business transaction as a supplier of goods, then sometimes we supply defective goods to the customer. And we don't disclose the defects that are there. Whereas Nabi alayhi salam has mentioned that those two people that are transacting, if they are truthful and they are open and transparent in their transaction, there will be barakah in their transaction. There will be blessings in their transaction. But if they lie, and if they conceal the defects in their goods that they are supplying, a person is supplying a vehicle, for example, and he has wound back the odometer, displaying it, for example, at 10,000 kilometers, but meanwhile it's sitting at 50,000 kilometers. He has failed to disclose this condition of the item that he is selling. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima." The barakah, the blessings of their transactions are totally destroyed. So we fail to disclose any defects in the transaction. And then on the other side, when it comes time to pay for the transaction, either we promise to pay on a certain date and then we fail to pay despite having the funds and the ability to do so. How many times there are cases, actual cases, where a supplier goes to a customer, "You were supposed to pay me in 30 days, it's now 60 days, it's now 90 days, the amounts are large, running into the millions, when are you going to pay me?" And what is the response? "Maaf, I'm gone for Umrah. I'm gone for Nafil Umrah. I can't pay you because I'm gone for Umrah." How many times we see that situation? On the one hand, we are going for Nafil Umrah, but on the other hand, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Matalul ghani zulmun." The delaying in payment of a person who has the ability and the funds to pay on time is an act of injustice and oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate injustice and oppression. Sometimes our mind only goes to the business community and the business transactions when it comes to aspects of cheating. But those who are in employment, employers and employees can also be guilty of tatfif, of shortchanging the other person in the transaction. When it comes to the employers, they do not pay their staff what is due to them. What is the market related price, they will not pay it to them because perhaps they can abuse them in some way. Maybe they don't have their paperwork in order. Maybe they have some other issue. Maybe they are desperate for the job. So we will try and extort as much as we can from them. Or they may work overtime, 7 days a week, 7 to 7, and we don't give them anything extra. We fail to consider that these people may also have a family. They also have responsibilities. They may also have children that they have to look after. And we are withholding that right as employers. But then again, when we say that to the employers, then the employees say, "Well, you know what, we are okay." Because it's always the employers that are abusing us. No respect to friends. Tatfif, withholding the right. Employees today are also guilty of that. And how are they guilty of that? The most common form, you have been contracted to work from a certain time to a certain time. For example, from 8 to 5. How often you will find that the employee will habitually come in at 8:30, at 8:45. At the same time, they won't be working. Come 5 o'clock in the afternoon, everything is packed up, they're out the door at 4:59. If you come in late, you're supposed to work the extra time. Then they will go for Zuhr Salah. And when they go for the Zuhr Salah, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, but it will become a 1.5 hour story. That is time that we are shortchanging from our employers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us on this. Then you will find, whilst we are at work, our minds are not fully focused on the work that we're supposed to do. How many times people are involved in online shopping, for example, spending hours scrolling through for Black Friday specials in the month of November when they're supposed to be working, or they are busy on other social media sites. This is not allowed in the contract of employment. The employer has contracted us to be there for a certain amount of time. Yes, within reason, a person may get tired, they will take a break, they will take a coffee break, a water break, a tea break. But spending hours doom scrolling whilst we at work, that is a branch of tatfif, that is a branch of withholding the right that is due to our employers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Now what happens when a nation cheats in all these different ways? There is a lengthy hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wherein he mentions, and one part of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that when people cheat in weights and measures, then they will be affected with three things. And let us look around, not only in our society but around the world. That when people cheat, they will be faced with famine, they will be faced with calamities, and they will be faced with oppressive rulers. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib adds on to this, that it is not just poverty that they will face, but it will be dependence on others for every aspect of their lives. There will be no istighna'iyat in that community. There will be no independence in that community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding. So my respected friends and elders, today we discuss the incident of Shu'aib alayhi salam, whose people were guilty of cheating in weights and measures. They carried out their business transactions in such a way that when they were looking for themselves, they got the full measure. But when they were then supplying to others, they would shortchange them of their right. Ulama have explained that this is not restricted to business practices, but any rights of others that we withhold will fall under the purview of this ayah, and there are great warnings for that. So we need to make sure that we introspect. We need to make sure that we identify in our own lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, is not sharing this with us to make us lose hope. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide us. He wants to bless us with barakah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us, He knows that we are not perfect. He knows that we will make mistakes, but let us recognize those mistakes. Let us identify, and when we leave here today, think about our own lives. Are we shortchanging anybody in any way? And if that is the case, let us try and make amends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with barakah in all our transactions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding to carry out our business transactions and all forms of transactions within the ambit of the sharia. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.